Okay, Judaism would take its name from the land of Judea. It's not named after a person. that says Confucianism has been named after Confucius, or Taoism named after Tao, or Christianity named after the Christ, peace be upon him. But it is actually an act, it's a way of life, it's a verb. And the one who does Islam, the one who surrenders his will or submits his will to the will of Almighty God, is called a Muslim. Much like when you change a verb in English to a noun, you have to put er on the end of the verb. And in doing so, you make the verb a noun. For example, if you sing, then you will be called a singer. If you play, you will be a player. In Islam, the one who does the action of Islam is called a Muslim. We don't put er on the end of the Arabic word. We put mu, the prefix mu, before the verb. So Islam is the way of life that Almighty God intended for all of the creatures. That is, to submit us, to surrender our wills, our being, to the Almighty. We believe as Muslims that the sun is a Muslim, that the moon is a Muslim, that the star is a Muslim, that everything in creation, birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, the trees that grow, the mountains that maintain stability on the earth, everything has been created by the one God to serve its purpose, and that is in submission to the will of Allah. What distinguishes a human being from everything else in the creation is that we as human beings have been given something that the animals have not been given. We have been given something that the mountains have not been given. We have been given something that the trees have not been given. And what is that? It is the free will. It is the will, the ability to be able to choose between right and wrong. And by giving us that, Almighty God Allah has dignified the human being so that we can fulfill what Allah has created for us. What is the purpose of the human life? It says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It means, and I have not created the jinn or the human being except for my worship. So Muslims believe that our sole purpose in life is to worship the one God. And this doesn't mean just the ritual forms of worship that we have in the five pillars of Islam, as we will explain, but it means that our total life, from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep at night, from the time we're brought into the world as babies until the time that we go out in the grave, that all of that encompasses worship to Almighty God Allah. So Islam is a very, very comprehensive term that denotes peace through submission and surrender. And then after we surrender, after we submit our wills and we surrender to the creator of the heavens and earth, then we accept to obey him and to obey the ones whom he has sent to us, his prophets, his messengers, who have come to us to show us how to live in obedience to the will of God. We do this with purity of intention. And by doing all of these things, we repeat that Almighty God wants for his creation. Islam is established on something called Iman and Ibadah. You have Iman, which is faith or belief. And then, in order to prove that belief, in order to substantiate that one truly is a believer, he has to do certain actions or Ibadah, acts of worship. The faith in Islam is built upon six pillars. The first being to believe in the oneness of God, that Almighty God has no partners in his sovereignty and his lordship, that he does not share his godship with anyone. He does not come down into the creation and take on any created form. In fact, he is too big to be in his creation. God has created everything. Allah, the Almighty, has created everything and given it its form, given it its guidance. And he does not need anything from us. We, as his creation, need from him. He has no need of us. He is the ever-living. He was never born. he will never die, nor is he the son of anyone. So this first pillar of faith, which is called Tawheed, or the oneness of God, is elaborated so beautifully in the Quran, where Allah the Almighty says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ صَمَّدٌ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Say, He is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal absolute. He has no offspring, nor is He the offspring of anyone, and there is none like unto Him. So this is the first pillar of faith in Islam, the first pillar of Iman. The second pillar is to believe in His angels. We as Muslims believe in Almighty God. Allah has created angels from light who do His bidding, and they are created without free will, so they have no choice except to obey the will of God. We believe that Almighty God, Allah, has created many, many thousands and thousands of angels, that each one of us have two recording angels, recording our good deeds and our bad deeds. He has created the angel that has brought the revelation, the leader of the angels, whom you may know of as Jibril or Gabriel, we call him Jibril in Arabic, is the one that brought the last scripture to Muhammad, God peace and blessings be upon him, also the one who brought the scriptures to the prophets before. He brought the Torah to Moses. He brought the Injil, or the Gospel, to Jesus. And finally, he brought the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, God peace and blessings upon him, and upon all of the noble prophets and messengers of God. So we are obligated to believe in angels, that they were created to do His bidding. They have no choice but to obey Allah. We don't worship angels. We don't go to them as intercessors or intermediaries between us and God. They have their purpose, and that is to carry out the commands of Almighty God Allah. The third pillar of Iman, or faith, is to believe in the revealed scriptures, or the revealed book, that Almighty God has sent down from time to time to His messengers. Those specially chosen men who walked amongst human beings, who lived like us, who ate, who slept, who got sick, who engaged in warfare, who engaged in business, who married, who ultimately died. Except for one whom we know as the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, who was raised up, who was taken up, and we believe that he is still living today and will come back as a sign of the last day. We believe that God sent the books, the revealed scriptures, from the Torah, that is the book given to Moses, the Injil, or the Gospel given to Jesus, the Suhuf, or the scrolls given to the Prophet Abraham, and lastly, the Quran, given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, God peace and blessings upon him and upon all of the right. Believe that all of those books brought one message: to obey God, to worship God and God alone, to make no other partners with God, not erect God besides God. And while we believe that God did send, that Allah did send previous scriptures before the Quran, we know and history has told us that those books are not in their original form. And the Quran is in itself, it is a miracle from Almighty God Allah, that it is the only scripture that has remained in its original form from the time it was given to the Prophet Muhammad, God peace be upon him, over 14 centuries ago. You may have done an exercise wherein you're in a room and it's a communication exercise, and sometimes they will experiment to show you how easy it is for a message to be changed. Right in this room, if we were to take one sentence message and pass it around from one person to the other, with that person whispering it to the next person, to the next person, by the time it gets to all of the people and comes back to the presenter, you find that one sentence will have been changed into something completely different from the way it started. Can you imagine a book that Almighty God has given to humanity remaining in its original form 14 centuries? From the opening chapter called Al-Fatiha, the opening, until the last chapter called An-Nas, the humanity. Not one vowel sound has been changed, not one letter has been taken out, not one verse or chapter has been changed, and it has been preserved through the memorization of the entire book. So this in itself is one of the miracles of Islam, that being the Quran. We must also believe that God has raised up messengers and prophets to show us how to live in obedience to the will of God, beginning with Adam, the first man and prophet, and concluding with Muhammad, God peace and blessings upon all of them. As Muslims, you can't be a Muslim if you don't believe in Noah, or if you don't believe in Abraham, You can't be a Muslim if you don't believe in Moses or if you don't believe in Jesus. We believe in all of them. We recognize that they were one brotherhood of prophets, that they brought one message, and that message was simply that there's no God but one God. Worship him on his terms and not on our terms. We follow Muhammad being the last of them, and he said that the prophets were like the builders of one, his message was like the final block, the final block in a structure, where you see all of the prophets that brought the same message, except for one final brick that needs to be laid, and he said he was the final block of this structure. So we are obligated to follow the last one whom Allah Almighty has sent us, that one being Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who was born in the 7th century of the Christian era, and perhaps later on in the, in our talk this afternoon, we'll be able to talk a little bit about his life. Very, very beautiful story to tell. We encourage you to get to know about Muhammad ibn Abdullah. God peace and blessings be upon him. There was a book that was written some years ago that is no longer in print by one, I believe his name was Joseph Hart, who was a Jew, and he wrote a book on the most influential men in history. The most 100. And at the top of the list, he identified Muhammad, God peace and blessings be upon him, the most influential person in history, because he is, alhamdulillah, Allah says in the Quran that he is a mercy to the world. And it behooves you, our guest, to get to know him, to get to know his life story. We have a complete story of his life from the time he was born to the time he died. For no other prophet do we have his life in detail like we have it for the Prophet Muhammad. That's the point. We must also believe in the divine decree of good and evil. That is, the destiny or predestination. Part of the faith in Islam is that we believe that Allah has decreed everything, that he has written everything that will occur, that has occurred, that is occurring right now, and that nothing happens by chance, that everything happens by the will and decree of Almighty God. This is a topic that scholars have written volumes and volumes about. It doesn't mean that our free will has no play in the matter or that it's inconsequential. It does mean that even though Allah the Almighty has destined our end, he has determined where we will be, he knows where we're going to be, he has concealed that from us so that our deeds will be the proof for where we end up. Some people ask, well, if God already knows where we're going to end up, if God knows that we're going to be in hellfire, we're going to be in heaven, then what's the point? The point is, we have to continue to do the good deeds so that we will arrive in the paradise and not be punished with the hellfire, and therefore our deeds, our life, will be a proof of the destination that we arrive at, the destination that Allah has decreed for us. So the Muslim believes in destiny decreed by Almighty Allah. We must also believe in the resurrection of life after death. We believe that life as we know it, time as we know it, will come to an end, and that Allah the Almighty will bring about the day of judgment, wherein all people who have ever lived will be raised up and will be assembled before our Lord to answer for our deeds, to be held accountable to them, to be held accountable for our actions in this life. So these are the pillars of faith. I believe we covered all of them, inshallah ta'ala. And at this time, we would like to pause for a brief moment to... Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening and your patience. And we're going to stop here for, well, I'm not going to take 5-15 minutes. We're going to give you the floor. Basically, we talked about starting belief in Islam. As we understand, there is Islam and there is Iman. There is a belief and there is an action. And belief by itself is not enough, it's the foundation. And after you lay down your foundation, you have to erect your building. Neither you can erect a building without a foundation. So both of them go hand in hand, very important to each other. So this is the basics of belief in Al-Islam. To believe in Almighty the Creator, that He's one, alone, you need nothing similar to Him. This is the first pillar. To believe in all revealed books that have been revealed by Almighty the Creator for the guidance of mankind. To believe in the angels of God, God Almighty has created angels, and they carry His commands, they never disobey. To believe in all the messengers. To believe in pre-existence or the faith. And lastly, to believe in the day of resurrection, that after we die, that Almighty God, the Creator, able to resurrect us again, to question us about our deeds and to reward us or to punish us. This is the basics of belief. And today, inshallah, we can talk about the basics of Islam, five-time prayer, the fasting, and things like this. But we would like to open the floor now. If anybody has any question, be glad to try to answer it. The question I asked, where did Allah come from? We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty God, has no beginning nor end. He is the first and the last. That He has no cause, nothing brought Him about. He has always been in existence, being the Supreme Being. He has always been, and He will be here until everything that we know of has passed away. So nothing brought Him into existence. There's no cause for Allah the Almighty. He is the prime cause of everything.
Are you talking about the term itself, from where is it, where it came, or who is Allah?
Okay.
Muhammad, God peace be upon him, was born in the year 570 of the Christian era, a descendant of the prophet Abraham and through the prophet Ismail. He was born in Mecca, Arabia, and he was born to the tribe called the Quraysh. He was an orphan at his early age. His father died before he was born, and his mother died at the age of 6. He then came to the care of his grandfather, who died at his age of 8. And then his uncle, Abu Talib, took care of him until his young adulthood. After that, he married to Lady Khadija, who was a wealthy widow of Mecca and also a business lady for whom he managed her caravan. And then, at his age of 40, he received the first visit from the angel Gabriel to Israel in on the outskirts of Mecca, go to the cave to get away from the stress of the city of Mecca, much like we get away from the stress of big cities today because of the problems that we see in a society. He was troubled by the problems that he saw in a society, the problems of injustice, the problems of the mistreatment of orphans, the mistreatment of women, the mistreatment of slaves, the mistreatment of widows. The false worship, the idolatry that was taking place in Mecca around the first house that was built by the prophet Abraham for the worship of the one God. So these things troubled him, and he would seek solace in the mountains out on the outskirts of Mecca and in the cave during the month of Ramadan. He received the first visitation from the angel Gabriel, who commanded him to read. He said, "Iqra, read." And the prophet, he was not a prophet at that time. He didn't know what was getting ready to happen to him. He told the angel, "I'm not a reader. I cannot recite." And the angel squeezed him to the point where he thought he was going to die. Then he would release him, and he commanded him again, "Iqra," to recite, or to proclaim, to read. And again, Muhammad said, "I'm not a reader. I'm not a reciter." And lastly, the angel released him, and then he commanded him finally, "Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Recite or proclaim, read in the name of your guardian Lord who created Khalaqal Insana min Alaq, who created a human being from a mere clot of congealed blood. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Recite or proclaim, and your Lord is most generous. Alladhi alama bil qalam, the one who is taught by the pen. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam, who taught the human being what he did not know before. So this is the moment that
Muhammad, God peace be upon him, received the mission of prophethood and messengership during the year 610 of the Christian era, and the revelation of the Quran took place over a period of 23 years as the verses were revealed by Almighty God through the angel Gabriel, and then they were revealed on the tablet of Muhammad's heart, God peace be upon him, where he had to memorize because he could not read or write. And as he received the revelation, he would recite it to his companions and then instruct them on the writing of it down so that it will be preserved for the later generation. The first house of worship built by the prophet Abraham is called the Kaaba. The Kaaba, yes. It's in Mecca, Arabia. The question is asking about the house of worship called the Kaaba and whether it had many idols erected for worship. And of course we know that when Abraham and his son Ismail first erected the house, that it was established for the worship of Allah alone, the one God. However, over the centuries, the worship has become corrupted, become defiled. And so many, many gods were found to be stationed there or erected there by the various tribes. And this was a means of financial support for the city of Mecca, for the aristocracy of Mecca. This was a way of making money. You see, the more gods you had, the more money you could collect. And so this is what we found during the time of Muhammad, God keep him blessed and upon him, that troubled him so much, and this was why Allah Almighty called him to this mission, to purify his house of worship, so that the worship would be returned to the one God. Yes. And at this time, of course, we want to clarify that the house today is established for the pure worship of the one God. That there are no idols inside or around the Kaaba, which is where we make our pilgrimage to once in a lifetime, if we can afford it and if our health permits. Allah is an Arabic name for the creator of the heavens and the earth. Much like each of us, we have our proper names, and we prefer to be called by our proper name than by the generic term man or woman. You see, the creator of the heavens and earth likes to be known by his proper name, which is Allah. He did not manufacture those gods. Of course, it would contradict his greatness, his glory, his godship to erect or have erected many idols that would lead the people to false worship. He did not create any. No. The Prophet Muhammad, God peace be upon him, when his mission was completed and he returned to Mecca, he and his companions cleaned out the false idols. Muhammad, God peace and blessings be upon him, the Prophet, he was the one that destroyed the idols that were placed in the Kaaba and around the Kaaba. But Allah the Almighty, no, there was not one that was representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
With all respect, it seems that maybe you read some books or you read a video about what you talk. I know what you're talking about. There is something called Al-Lata. Al-Lata is different from Allah. Allah is the proper name for Almighty, the Creator. But among these idols, which made out of stone, that the people made it, okay, because you worship them instead of Almighty Allah, okay, they associate them in worship with Almighty Allah. One of them, its name was Al-Lata. Al-Lata, which used to be a righteous man. He used to be a righteous man, which he used to make two. Okay, this is the word Al-Lata came from. A person who makes the two and bread together to let them. Okay, this is the verb Lilat. This is the verb in Arabic. So this righteous person used to make food, show hospitality for those people who come to visit the Holy Mosque or the Holy Kaaba. When this person died, they made a statue or an image of him, okay? So this was mentioned in the Quran. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّةَ وَمَنَاتَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى. D-A-C, Manat, and Allah, okay? So Allah is different from Allah. So Allah was never there as a statue or an image in the Kaaba. It was one of them that called Allah, and this was the image that been made after this righteous man who used to make the bread and the soup and serve it and show hospitality for those people coming to visit the Kaaba. But when you say, was Allah there? Allah is not an image. Allah is not a human being. Allah is not a rock. Allah is not anything from what you can imagine. So whenever God, this shape or what we think exists in, is the Kaaba and Muhammad left it there or not. So it used to be many, many statues, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he had ordered all the things to be removed and be taken and to be broken out and taken out of the Kaaba.
You know,
in actuality, this is what I was planning to talk today about, who is Allah, okay? Yes, later, but there is no interest in it. This has no reality in Islam, that Islam is been taken from other religions or has anything to do with the moon god or anything like this.
You talk about Allah being in everything, but again,
Allah, the Almighty, we are told in the Quran that He has created all of the human beings in the loins of Adam. And He asked the human being, am I not your Lord? And we all said yes. Then He wiped that from our memory and brought us into this life so that we would then be tested as to which of us believe and which of us disbelieve. Allah the Almighty says in the Quran that He has created everything in the creation to test which of us will be best in conduct. So we see this life as an examination. Much like when you study for an exam, you spend a whole semester, and then you go to the final day when you take the exam, and after that all books are closed, no more study. You get your grade, you either pass or you fail. And this is how we view this life, that we are given the choice to believe in the one God, to follow His prophet, live in accordance with His divine will, or we can reject that, and either way we're going to be held accountable for our deeds. Almighty God Allah, He is known as Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most gracious, the most merciful. So He knows that we're going to make mistakes, that we're going to commit sin, you see, but He is also Al-Ghafur Rahim. He is the most forgiving, and He loves that His slaves, when we make mistakes, when we commit sin, that we ask for His forgiveness. We make repentance. We ask God to forgive us for our shortcomings so that we can then return back to obedience to His will.
He basically,
we don't believe that Almighty God Allah is removed from the creation, although He tells us in the Quran that He is in a specific place. If you ask anybody today, where is God? Most people will say, God is everywhere. The Muslim does not believe that Allah, highly glorified, that He is everywhere. Allah tells us in the Quran that He is over His throne above the seven heavens. This is a very specific location. How He is there, we don't question it. We don't think about it or ponder it. He is there as He pleases according to His magic. However, what is everywhere is His power, His control. His knowledge is over everything. His power is over everything. His control is over everything. You see, His mercy is over everything. So that is how we see Allah the Almighty involved in the running of all affairs of life. But in terms of just creating us, giving us free will, and leaving us on our own, no. He is very much in control of everything that goes on
You see, however, he is not in the creation in itself.
Let me answer this question in a different way, if you don't mind. First of all, there is a principle in Islam, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. No one can question God about what he's doing, but we don't be questioned. So we talk about the president or a king or somebody, if you own a house, okay? Let's assume I'm a rich man. I took on the $10,000, gave it to this man, I don't give you any money. And after this, I go give this man $1,000. It's my money, is it? So I'm free to do whatever. You could not come and tell me, why you give me $10,000, you give this man $1,000, you didn't give me anything. It's my money, I didn't take anything from you. So God, nobody can say, can God, why God suggest? When I make a suggestion, who I am, make a suggestion for God first. We talk about God Almighty. Whatever name he wants to, because when we talk about God, the God, okay, we're talking about the one who's the most knowledgeable, the most wise. So who I am, that is like this, compared to God, that I'm going to say, why God doesn't wise everybody and bring people who listen? Who I am to tell God what to do? And he thinks I'm more wiser than God. This is his kingdom, whatever he wants. He wants sinner, he wants obedient people, he mixes them together, this is his choice, this is his kingdom, he do whatever he wants. Nevertheless, he's capable and able to remove all of us, the good and the bad, and bring a new generation, which is never disobeying him. As an example, our belief in the angels, they carry the command of Almighty God, they never disobey him. So why God created a human being if the angels always glorify his name, they never disobey him? This is his kingdom, do whatever he wants. And don't forget also, me and you, we need to get to know God. Now we get to know more God by seeing his forgiveness. When I do him his feet, after this come to repent, and now I can see God more different if I never made a mistake and I never repent. So now God Almighty given us the ability to see him through our mistakes, our faults, returning back to him. So he has a wisdom behind everything. No, we did not say that Jesus died. I didn't say he died. I said that all of the prophets died except for
Jesus.
He said he's exceptional. Yeah. We believe that he was taken up by Almighty God and saved from the catastrophe that was planned.
Okay.
No.
Is not the same as the way it starts. It's the way how he thinks.
Now he said, what is the miracle? The miracle is that the last book, Almighty God, Allah, had took upon himself to protect it. It's not going to leave it as a human being to protect it or to memorize it and keep it. Now he, this is the miraculous here. What is the miracle? No, this is a book and this is a book. But this book here, I'm going to be in charge of making sure nobody will add or delete. The previous book, we had left it to the community for them to protect it. But because we are a human being, we could not keep it. The text has been revealed. This is the comparison that he was giving. So we believe in all the previous books, but we don't believe that any of them is still in the pure form has been revealed from God. We believe that the last revelation, which is the Quran, been given to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the only book that still gets without any addition or deletion. This is the reason for following only the Quran. Our time is your time, okay? As you like to call it, free country. We left the exit open. When anybody feels tired or wants to catch an next appointment, you can exit or take some free materials, get a snack. So we here at your disposal, when you guys feel tired, we get tired. Take your time. Take your time. We're going to select this man here. I have here on the... Okay, so don't worry.
Now we have count time. He doesn't know what to do.
Imam has mentioned, the preservation of the Quran was not the responsibility of the Prophet, God peace and blessings upon him, or his companion. Allah the Almighty has taken that responsibility to protect his word. It says in the Quran that he will protect the book, and in fact, has protected the book from any change. How it was revealed to the Prophet, peace upon him, in various ways. Sometimes it would come as a sound of a loud bell that he would be hearing. Sometimes he would come and his companions would see him first time, even though it would be cold, or he would be shivering even though it would be hot. And he, once it was revealed to him by the angel Gabriel, he would then recite it to his companions, clearly distinguishing what was revelation from what was his word or his speech. And then the companions would then, those who could write, would write it down. Those who could not write, they would memorize it. And so over the period of 23 years, more than 6,000 verses and 114 chapters were compiled in the memory of Muhammad the Prophet, God peace and blessings be upon him, and in the memory of his companion. Then it was later written down in the form that we have today under the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and finalized during the time of the Caliph Uthman, may Allah be pleased with him, so that we have one standard version of the Quran today. Actually, we didn't talk about the five pillars of Islam. We talked about the six pillars of faith. The six pillars of faith. And we're going to talk a little later about the pillars of the plan. Okay?
And you mentioned about work.
That's one of the ways by which one gets the paradise. Of course, the good works are not the sole means to enter the Jannah or enter the paradise.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. There's a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, he asked companions, who is the bankrupt one from amongst my nation? And the people say, his companion says, the bankrupt one is the one who has no money or no property, no dinars, no gold or silver. And he says, the bankrupt one of my nation is the one who worships, he makes his prayers, he makes his salah, he fasts during Ramadan, he gives charity, he makes pilgrimage, but because he has wronged people, he has done injustices to people, he has misappropriated people's property, he has even harmed or hurt them or even killed them, what Allah the Almighty is going to do, he's going to take from his good deeds and give them to the people whom he has wronged, and if he doesn't have enough good deeds to pay that account, he will take from the bad deeds of the people whom he has wronged and put them on his scale, and by that he will be making it into the hellfire.
Excuse me, if you don't mind. If I understood your question right, no. But you asked a specific question. And let me try to say it again if I understood you right, okay? You know, if my mother tongue is Arabic, so sometimes I miss between Arabic and French. French or spoken English? Spoken English now, is it? Okay. So in case I misunderstood you, you tried to say, if you did this, you did that, the five, the six, and you believe in God, and, but it can God say to you, no. Because one of the things about God Almighty is that he keeps his promise. And no one can keep his promise better than Almighty God. Okay, so if God tells you for you to believe and do a good deed, and, I promise to Jannah, Paradise, heaven, whatever name, and after this comes in the end and say, hey, I thank you. This is not the way of God. But this person, he may did something wrong during his life. None of us is perfect, all right? We are not perfect. I may one day commit a sin, small or big. So there is two choices here. That God Almighty, he will punish me for what I did, all right? And after this, I'm going to heaven. And they stay there forever. Another possibility, God Almighty will forgive me for that sin and let me go right to Jannah. So now, I owe the people something, I have to pay the people, but I could not return what kind of injustice or money that I borrowed in my life or whatever I did today. I could not. Now I need to be punished for what I did. So this punishment is a temporary punishment, but the final place I'm going to send them. So how after I believe and they survive and the thing, God tell me I was disgracing you? So promise me in your book that if I do this, I go to Jannah. Yes, it's going to Jannah, but you owe the people this. You did touch wrong. Now we're going to put you in lockup for 5 days, a month, a year. And after this, we're going to release you, and you go to Jannah, heaven, paradise, forever. I'm not a king. You mean king. When you go to McDonald's and you get a milk, okay, you exchange it. I'm only joking. No, don't worry about it. You can call me, you can call me whatever it is, no problem. But we are not worried about titles now. We need to come to know what Islam is about. And this is the reason we are here today, because we read Allah, we hear Allah, and the media are doing very good job nowadays, you know, very good job to misplace or misunderstand or misrepresent Islam. So this is the reasoning. We would like the people to ask us any question they may, like he said, with Allah there on the Kaaba among his gods. Because I know right away, he clicked, I know that you read something about moon god, about Alata, all these things. So I want you to feel free to ask any question so you can get, like you say, from the mouth of the horse. Not me, I'm the horse. You can say, I'm the horse. Here's the horse, that's
you are
voting
in you have a shirt.
If we lie, Muslim.
Yes, for sure. Allah the Almighty has promised believers who believe in his oneness and the oneness of God, making no partners with him, with sincerity, that they will be given the paramedics. They would be there.
I'm making here it's like insurance policy. After 6 months, I understand what he's talking about, and please me to answer the question for him. Okay, he's still under training program. This is the reason I'm stating here. I'm the chief now. Okay. So by the way, I know you're a very, very smart person, and I thank God for blessing you with all this wisdom. See, when you have expiration day and your policy is over, and you get a car accident, God forbid, there's no car and the claim. I used to be insured with your company. Yes, you used to. But now you see, this is August 2nd and it's ended July 2032 or 31st, okay? So now, he doesn't know what's going to happen to him. But we pray and we hope that we die in a state of Islam. Now ask him a question like this. And if you want to close the door, feel free. Thank you. Sorry, ma'am. If he remains Muslim until his death, he died a Muslim, he didn't come in the end of his life. It's too much for me. I've been all my life, understand, praying, and in a way, no drugs, no drinking, no dancing, no girls, no young. It's too much for me. Forget about this stuff, okay? And in the last month, last year, what he said, God forbid. So, this man, he didn't die in the state of Islam now. Or he said, I'm not going to worship God. There is nothing called God. I don't believe in this stuff. I really come to my senses. Nothing called God. Okay? So, you ask him the question this way. If you remain Muslim until your death and you die as a Muslim, you are surely going to Jannah? To heaven? I will answer you in his behalf. And you're going to hear it from him. Yes. Of course, no doubt. Let's get we'll give you a break. Do you have a question or do you want to? Do you mind? Let's give him time now, okay? We'll get back with you. Okay. You choose now. Choose. Okay. We regard Jesus as one of God's greatest messengers and prophets. We see him as a human being. Allah tells us that he was born of an immaculate conception, that he was the spirit, the Ruh, breathed into his mother Maryam, and that he was a prophet from the time he was born to the time he was raised up. We worship the one whom he worshiped. He did not call the people to worship him. So we regard him as a prophet of God among the many prophets who received the scripture of the gospel or the Injil, as it's called.